I want to bless each of you for being here today. I wish more people were here today. I bless Bob for coming. Most of you may not know who Bob Slaybaugh is. He lives in Texas. And Bob and his wife Irene have been very close friends of ours. We have a mutual friendship, and we have a mutual desire to faithfully serve our Father in heaven. So I thank you, Bob, for coming here today. John, I must admit, while you were talking about worship, there's something that came up from the kitchen that distracted me. For some of you, it was a sweet odor. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? As I had mentioned to you, I want to continue to talk about the unhindered pathway to God. And I don't know what you're thinking of when you think about the unhindered pathway to God, but I want to share what I have here today. I have worked very hard on this message. And it's not one of the messages that comes easy for me. But I want to tell you, I have a compulsion about this message. I have a compulsion where I feel obligated to share this message with you as a church. And the reason I say that is because Elsie and I have... I looked at Elsie here, I don't know, a month ago or whenever it was. And I just said, honey, I said, we are married 50 years. And I asked the question, I said, how do we take our marriage to the next level? And I want to tell you, taking your marriage to the next level is not an easy step. Because if you're going to take your marriage to the next level, there are some difficult things that need to be done. There are some difficult conversations that need to take place. I don't know if you can at all relate to that or not. But what happens is we don't want those difficult conversations. We don't want to look at each other and say, honey, why are you doing this? Because it's not to the best of our marriage, to the best of our relationship. Those are very difficult conversations to have. At least that's the way I find it. I don't know about you, but that's the way I find it. But I want to tell you, if you don't have those conversations, you know what happens to your marriage? You will settle into a normal relationship. One where you know it's very safe to operate. You know the hot buttons on each other. You won't touch them. You'll stay away from those hot buttons. And you will develop into a relationship where it becomes safe. There's even a relationship that may come out of that maybe okay, but I don't know, and I've been talking to you about the word intent. I don't know what your intent is in regard to your marriage relationship. And that's not my subject at all today, but it is what has born this subject that I want to share, that I've been sharing with you. Because we have discovered that unless we talk about the difficult things, we won't go to the next level. We won't go there. And if you remember, I showed you a drawing here last time I had a message. where here's God, and here is the believer, and we're on a pathway to God. I showed this drawing to you, and we talked about just, these are just examples. Fear, believing lies, past hurts, pains, and abuses, and lack of passion and pride. And I just put these in here, and if you remember, I talked to you about these lines come in here in various degrees. Some don't come in very far, some come in further. And there's a lot of people that in their, as believers, in their pathway to God, various of these things may be active in our lives. And something that is very interesting about this is that there are many times that the believer will not know what is going on in his life. There are many times that he's saying, why am I struggling with this? There are times that we pray. Did you notice in the song, one song we sang today, there's a statement in there about we pray and pray and it seems like to no avail. What was that song we sang? There's one of the songs you sang today. And that's where a lot of people are. I mean, there's a lot of people that praise God. I don't like this situation. And that is the very core of why I'm teaching here today, is because some way we have to come to the realization that there are items, there are things, I don't know what to call these, that are involved in our pathway to God, that are hindrances. And today, I just want to spend some time in what do we do with these things? What do we do with them? And one of the struggles that I had about this message is because I've been telling Doug and Dan that we need expository messages here at this church. And expository messages are simply messages that we say, I'm going to read to you today a certain chapter, and we go into that chapter and we teach everything that's in that chapter. It's much more difficult to do that than choosing topical messages, where we simply choose a topic and then we bring all the verses in for that and we create a message out of that. That's easy. Topical messages are easy. Expository messages are much more difficult because you will come to verses that you don't know how to talk about them. And it's important that we know how to talk about them. And that was another thing that I wrestled with this. But like I said, I just want us to think about our lives. And one of the questions that's a core question to ask in what do we do with these things? What do we do with it? A very basic question, and it should be the first question that you ask. And that question is, why? You begin to ask yourself the why question. You take any of these, why do I have lack of passion? Why am I just not motivated? What's keeping me from being motivated? Why am I fearful? You start asking the why question, and your eyes will begin to be opened. And I don't know to what degree you want to change. I don't know what degree you want to change. But something that I have been so blessed, by people in this brotherhood that have struggled with issues. And all of a sudden, they come and they say, Delbert, I got it. I understand. And you know what? That only comes when we ask the why question long enough. We'll keep asking that why question, why question, why question, why question. We'll keep asking that until all of a sudden the illumination of God's Spirit upon us just opens this thing up and we can see it. We can see it. So I want to encourage you. Anything, I don't know what the issues are in your life. Any of these issues that are in your life, begin to ask the why question. Now, I want to take that two steps. One step that I want to encourage you with is go to your spouse, if you're married. If you're young, go to your mom and dad and say, Dad, Mom, why am I struggling with this? That begins to open your eyes. When you start asking that why question, and then you go to someone else and say, why do you perceive that I'm struggling with this? When you get serious about these issues that are obstructing and your life is a maze, you're just walking through life. And see, what happens is exactly what I was saying about marriage. You know, we look at these issues and we say, I can't go there. Hurts, pains, and abuses, I can't go there. They're too painful. And I want to speak very kindly to you. I want to be very kind with you in regard to these past hurts, pains, and abuses. Because I have observed people that are totally controlled by those past hurts, pains, and abuses. When you start asking the question, why am I experiencing difficulty in my relationship with God? And you start going to others and you say, what have you observed in my life that may give me a clue of why I'm struggling? See, the Bible is very clear about speaking to each other, into each other's lives. Bible talks about exhorting each other. That word is not just admonishing. That word is also encouraging. Those are all included in that word admonish or exhort, I want to say. And when you get serious about identifying issues that are obstructions in your pathway to God, and you start coming to other people, to your husband, wife, to your parents, and to anyone else, what would happen if Doug would get up and say, brothers, I'm struggling with this thing, at the brothers' meeting especially, and he would say, this is what I'm struggling with, can you tell me why? What would happen? What would start taking place in our own lives? See, as long as those issues stay hidden, we probably can't move forward. And something that happens when we don't identify these issues, all of a sudden we settle into what's normal. These things become normal. Elsie and I can have a normal relationship. Elsie and I have elected to not have a normal relationship. Elsie and I have elected to say, what does it take to go to the next level in our marriage relationship? These are difficult steps. But what do you want? That's the question. What do you want? Young people, what do you want? What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? And all of a sudden, you begin to realize that I have some serious obstructions. I have an obsession with this, or whatever it may be. And we start actually identifying the why behind these things. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to identify things that are painful, shameful, difficult. But we must go there. We must go there. if we want to go to the next step in our relationship with God. If you want these obstructions here to be removed, if you want these, your pathway to God to be a clear pathway, you have to make a decision. And that brings me to the message that I had before this message. And if you remember, this message was right here in my heart. This is the reservoir of life right here. And I don't know how to identify the heart, but I identify the heart as the reservoir of life. It's just like this well here. Here is the water level. And right here is where life comes from. It's the reservoir of life. And out of that reservoir of life is where we make our choices. It's where we make our choices. I've been teaching you that as you make these choices, think, feel, and choose, as we do that, I've been teaching you that if you don't, with intent, make choices, the subconscious mind will make that choice. And the subconscious mind will make the choice based on the patterns that you have in the brain. That's the subconscious mind will. The subconscious mind will make your choice because of patterns that you have in your brain and how you think right here. Once I understood that, that was huge for me. Once I understood that I have patterns because of habit, our habits create grooves in our brain that we begin to think certain ways, either positive, negative, whatever it may be. Our patterns develop pathways in our brain that cause us to think in a certain manner. And again, so all of a sudden our heart is down here, and if the reservoir of life is not like we were discussing here today, if the reservoir of life is not filled with this, now I'm the Son of God. Presently, in my present state, I'm the Son of God. If my reservoir is vacillating about that, if my reservoir, and Doug made a good point in devotions, you know, we try to worship God two ways. No, we can't do that. Because if that's the reservoir that we're living in, and we keep a little bit of this world thing in our reservoir, guess what happens? Guess what happens? And we need to, those are some things that were just critical for me to understand in my own life. And then I was thinking about that, and then I began to understand this. And I just like to go through here just a few things that I want to encourage you with in regard to all of these things that are coming into our and obstructing. One of the things that I've already talked about is we must talk and be realistic about these things. Maybe we just need to start and say, what are some things? What are some things that are obstructions? And we need to be very honest about that. I would just encourage all of you as couples, families that are here, I would encourage you to just simply openly talk to your spouse and say, what are some negative patterns that I have? What are some positive patterns that I have? And you start asking each other those questions. You will find some answers to these things right here. That is just the beginning. The door is just cracking when you start asking each other those questions. Can you help me identify some of my negative thought patterns that are in my brain? One of the other things that is very critical, if you're going to get this pathway clear, You must be able to identify truth. Truth is not relevant. Truth is not based on what you say is truth. Truth is based on fact. So you and I don't have the privilege of identifying truth. We have to identify fact and say, this is the way it is. I get angry. I can tell you of a man in a certain community that has serious issues with anger. So the church has said, we're going to appoint 3 men that are going to work with this man and help him with his anger problem. But I want to tell you something about that approach. What is truth in regard to why? Remember the why? In regard to why he's angry. See, if we don't understand and identify the why, we can encourage people to behavior change, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about trying to open up your pathway to God by self-effort here today. I am talking about we begin the process of opening our lives to each other. And in the middle of this, we begin to identify truth. And I would encourage you to use the scriptures to identify truth. Take, for instance, maybe one of the things that is that you're struggling with is it seems like maybe your wife is going to look at you and say, you know what, you're pretty contentious. Do you know that you can go into the scripture and find truth about that? You can go into the scriptures, and you can go into Proverbs 13, verse 10, and there it says, only by pride cometh contention. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? If your wife would tell you, Bob, you're a contentious person, and you're serious about changing, then you can say, okay, what's this thing about contention? We can go into the scriptures, and it uses contention in regard to husband and wives. It uses contention to describe a woman, a certain type of woman. The scriptures are very clear. Can we then say, the truth is this, and we repent of this? We repent of pride. And guess what happens with contention? Guess what happens with contention? All of a sudden, once we understand the sin of pride, when we understand how God hates it, and we humble ourselves before God, guess what happens? Contention ceases. Contention ceases. That's just one illustration. And you can go into the scriptures. When you begin to say, what's truth about my struggle? What's truth about my struggle? Why am I fearful? Why am I fearful? When you begin to understand that fear is not of God, there's scriptures after scriptures that you can find in regard to fear. I want to encourage you today that as you identify these things based on the Word of God and see what God says about it. If you as a husband and wife have relationship struggles, and if there's contention between you two, go into the Scriptures and look at what the Scriptures have to say. And you can come to a conclusion about the cause, and you can start praying. And as you begin to pray, guess what? These issues begin to change. I want to really encourage you to look at what is truth. Another reason I say this is because John 16 is a chapter that very clearly gives us a lot of teaching about God's Spirit. And in that verse, in that chapter, Christ himself says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And if you're open to God's Spirit, you will find that the Holy Spirit will bring you identification to anything that is militating against your walk with God. The Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. Something else that must take place if you want to have a clear pathway to God is that you must understand deeply in your heart God's forgiveness of your sins. If you vacillate in regard to God's forgiveness for your sins, you're going to have a very difficult time forgiving those who have wronged you. You must understand. See, forgiveness is not just a superficial thing, that a little word that we take our children and say, now go to him and say, I'm sorry. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a release of the other person's wrong to us. And you know why we struggle so, why forgiveness is so difficult? The reason we struggle with forgiveness is because we begin to reason this thing out. And we begin to say, you know, Zach hurt me. And if I forgive Zach, I'm just letting him off of the hook for what he did to me. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to let the other person off the hook. He was the one that was wrong. That's not what forgiveness is. If Christ would have waited for us to come back to him some way, we would never be forgiven. Another reason that people struggle with forgiveness is because, like I said, we're waiting on them to come to us. Do you realize that forgiveness has nothing to do with Zach and his wrong to me? Nothing. Forgiveness means that if I want to be free, then I need to forgive. It has nothing to do with Zach. I remember one time, I was struggling with, I'll say it like this. We had been praying for certain individuals. And all of a sudden, I discovered through God's Spirit that God was here, the individual was here, and I was in the middle. And I was actually restricting God from working in that person's life. And when I forgave the wrong that was committed toward me, I was removed out of that middle position because I was no longer obstructing God from working in Zach's life. It was a miracle of what happened when I removed myself from that middle place. I thought I had to make people understand. I worked hard at making that people understand. But God showed me, you're in the middle. I can't even work with those other people. It's not your position. You can't give life. And yet there is this thing of intercessory prayer where we are actually in the middle, but that's not what I think you understand what I'm saying. I want to really have you think This whole thing about forgiveness is truly based on in your heart. You love and cherish God's forgiveness for your sins so much that you will gladly forgive. And it's a journey. I want to tell you, it's not an easy thing. There are people that have deeply hurt us. I am not saying that we should just flippantly say, I forgive you. I say, God, put in my heart how you forgave me. And that's how I want to extend forgiveness to the other person. Once I understood the deep forgiveness of God for my sins, then I could forgive others. I want to tell you, these things become very, very, very real. They become very real. I use a phrase, we allow people to be a monkey in our back. Every time certain instances come up, that monkey just keeps clawing our shoulders. Oh, we'd like to get rid of this monkey. You know how you get rid of the monkey? You get rid of the monkey through forgiveness. That's how you get rid of the monkey. It's amazing how many people don't like the monkey, but they can't extend forgiveness either. The last thing I want to talk about is this thing right here. Lack of passion. This is what I wrote. There are numerous statements that I think of when I think of apathy. Apathy is a word that is used to describe lack of passion. And apathy means want of feeling. In other words, you really don't have any feeling in regard to the importance of changing. Lack of passion, apathy means lack of passion, emotion, or excitement. It says indifference to what is to what ordinarily stirs feelings or activities. And something that I discovered when I was studying, I spend hours on looking at this subject. So why are people not passionate about their relationship with God? I'm going to close my message then with reading quite a number of scriptures that give us some clues in regard to spiritual success. And I want to talk to you that if you don't have passion in regard to where you're going, you are going to have a pathway that is going to be very, very difficult. If you don't have a passion, and when I talk about a passion, I'm saying strong feelings. You must want to get out of this under all costs. You must want to change under all costs. You don't care who finds out your sin. You don't care who finds out your struggles. You don't care anything about that because you have intent, and that intent is a clear pathway to God. And you start talking. You start being honest with truth. And then you start praying and you say, God, don't let this thing die. God, I don't want this thing to die. I won't give up. And this was one of the things that God really stirred in my heart. I have discovered that as I'm looking through the scriptures, and just this week, somebody quoted to me the scripture that I've quoted to you many times, or at least numerous times, in Ephesians, where it says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I said, God, that's not me. God, you must show me what it means to be filled with your fullness. God, you must show me how to get rid of this. And God, I'm not going to give up until I know. If we don't have that passion, we're going to be a person that's going to struggle the rest of your life in the Christian life. We must have a passion, strong feelings, with intent in serving God. I don't know what you're thinking, but I want to encourage us. So let's talk about lack of passion. If we possess the mentality that the back seat is okay, that's where we're going to stay the rest of our life. If we have that mentality that the back seat is okay, I'll just come and go at TCA, I'll be involved, but I really prefer the back seat, that's where you're going to stay. Remember, there are people in the back seat that like to be the driver. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That does not work. We have to make a choice in regard to the busyness of life, in regard to this subject right here. We have to make a choice about how we allow the busyness of life to control our walk with God. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that the busier I get with the affairs of life, the more this is difficult right here. We allow all kinds, just like that aroma this morning. That aroma came in, it totally distracted me from what John was saying. That's literally what happens in life. That's literally what happens in life. We're going through life, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And there's no fruitfulness. Brings no fruit to perfection. That's what the scriptures say. And here we are, working in our relationship, in our pathway to God, and the cares of this life become so predominant that we don't produce fruit. And then we sit here and we can't figure out why our struggle is so, on this pathway, why our struggle is so severe. I want to suggest, as you have conversation with each other, these are issues that you talk about. These are issues that you talk about. You know, it's so easy as young couples, we're inexperienced with children, and all of a sudden we have children. And oftentimes we buy properties, and so we make payments. And all of a sudden these things become a lifestyle of busyness, of obligation. These things become a lifestyle to the point that it drowns out and hinders this thing right here. I was so blessed yesterday after the wedding. I was talking to Rick. He was the pastor that did the, I've known Rick and Sherry for many years. He was the pastor that officiated yesterday at the wedding. And you know, it was interesting for me to listen to him. I said, Rick, where are you living? Oh, he said, we've lived over here in Conjura 1000 for, he said, 26 years. He said, we have 20 acres there. And he said, when Sherry and I got married, she didn't feel the same way about money that I did. He said, so we set about, and we started talking about how we're going to spend our money. He said, we started talking about buying a property. And he told me where he bought a property. I remembered where that was when they first got married. I knew Rick before he was married. And then he said, we sat down and we said, how soon can we pay off this property? And he said, so we sat down and we started doing some figuring. And he said, I worked at Wana Engine, which is an engine shop north of Shipshe. And he said, I never was in a factory where it made high wages. But he said, we paid off our first property in 7 years. Remember, I've been talking to you about intent. And something that I'm really seriously learning, Elsie and I have been talking about this almost every day, but I have discovered that people are willing to give up something for what they want. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have something you want out here, and you give up something to get there. What if this thing that you want out here is something that's not the best? It doesn't make any difference. You will still give up something for what you want out here, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. And he said, so we lived there. And he said, one day this 20 acres came up for sale. We had heard about it. It was no sign out. So he said, somebody came to him and had told him that it's for sale. So he said, how much are they wanting for it? And he said, he wants $2,500 an acre for it. Now you already know how long ago this was. And he said, they want $2,500. That's $50,000. Rick says, I don't have $50,000 cash. So the person says, well, make an offer to the seller. So he made an offer to the seller. The seller accepted the offer. And they stayed living at their house until the land was paid. Then they went and borrowed money and built a house on it. And he said, you wouldn't believe how soon we had the new house paid. I'm saying this because they had something in place right here where they said, I don't care what happens, I am going to sacrifice something to get what I want. And in that case, they said, we want to be out of debt as soon as possible. And so they said, this is what we're going to sacrifice. And I want to encourage you to think about passion. In regard to your pathway to God, how serious are you in regard to that pathway? How serious are you? See, I've already talked to you about things that become a lifestyle. Things that we just simply accept. And it becomes normal. That's not where I'm encouraging you to live. I'm encouraging you today, every one of you, I'm encouraging you today, work at making that this thing is clear, and you can do it with God. Let me read you some scriptures. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, God has a plan in regard to this journey right here. God has a plan that he will actually give you strength. And how does God actually strengthen you? When it says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How does Christ actually do that? How would you answer that question? So Elsie and I discussed this, and guess what? Again, the Bible comes back, and it's all related to promises. This strengthening is all related to promises. If you go into the scriptures and you begin to identify promises, you will receive divine help from God, divine strength from God, because God has given us those promises. You receive those promises by faith. And when you receive those promises, the life of God comes into you. And you can live in those promises. And again, go back into the scriptures. And what are the promises in regard to any of these issues that we face? It's amazing. It's amazing. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, those are the familiar verse where it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, God's life becomes real through his word. God's word is life. And if we want strength, then we go into God's word. Then we go into God's word. I went into Matthew. There was a scripture there that kept ringing my mind. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. You know what I want to encourage you with? When you begin to understand this being right here called God and the blessedness of a relationship with the Heavenly Father, you will sell everything that you have that's a hindrance so you can acquire this relationship. So you can be free. God wants every one of these things to not be an impediment in your pathway to God. And that verse says, we sell everything. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I do not find in the scripture that being mediocre is okay with God. I do not find that in the scriptures. Interesting verse about the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should not be a castaway. Have you ever watched, and I really don't like to watch it, a professional fight? These guys hit each other in the head so hard that it would probably kill you and me. But these guys make every move count. Every move is strategic. They watch your opponent, and if there's the least slack of any kind, they know it exactly, and they punch right at that time. Paul's saying, I'm not here wasting my energy trying to punch my opponent when he's not even around. Paul is saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And I want to tell you, this was another reason that God has been speaking to me. I discovered in my own life that there are places in my life that I'm very undisciplined. If you want to be serious about this thing right here, we must have the same testimony that Paul did. My body must be brought into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, first of all. And then we need to identify impediments or things that are hindrances. And we need to say, those must go. I don't care what the cost is, they must go. Paul says, every punch that I make toward my opponent is strategic. But yet, we're satisfied with all kinds of things that are constant hindrances in our Christian life. And I want to encourage you. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I just want to tell you something. What you feed grows. What you feed grows. If you want your plants this summer to grow, we had to take our blueberry plants. If we wouldn't have watered our blueberry plants, they'd have all died. What you feed grows. And I just want to encourage you that as you look, honestly look at anything that's an impediment in your pathway to God, if you say, my focus is on the promises of God, my focus is on truth, my focus is on being open to my struggles, then we will find that God shows up and we can identify these things and our pathway to God becomes clear. Our pathway to God becomes clear. There's another verse that I want to read, and that is Christ's power. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, he was asking God to remove the thorn in the flesh. And God comes back and says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, when we identify honestly before God, God shows up with divine power that will enable you to have a clear pathway with God, and that's where the peace and the joy of your relationship with Christ is found. Your relationship with Christ, if it's not a relationship of peace and joy, then you know that there's some things that are reaching into your pathway. And Paul is saying here, I don't care, I will put up with my thorn in the flesh, because if I militate against that thorn, Christ's power can't rest upon me. Paul says, most gladly, I will receive that thorn in the flesh, because it means that the power of Christ will rest upon me. Once I began to understand, brothers and sisters, those truths, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. See, there are tasks that must be done. In this verse, it was being a minister. There are tasks that must be done. And if we're serious about fulfilling those tasks, it means the divine enablement of God must rest upon us. It's not that we're just out here trying to get rid of these through our own effort. It is the divine power of Christ rests upon us, and we can honestly identify any of these impediments, and we can have a clear pathway to God. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, in Psalm 119. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Psalm 30, verse 2, it says, O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I cried unto thee, and God hath healed me. See, that's what God wants to do. God does not want you to keep struggling. God does not want you to keep struggling. God wants healing. And when we cry to God with a passion that won't stop, God brings healing and clears our pathway to God. This is the reality of life. Sometimes we don't talk about the reality of life. We like to talk about a relationship with God, but in the middle of this, we have things that are reaching in that we have to constantly identify, just like Paul did in regard to his thorn in the flesh. We probably will always have something that is going to want to work in and be an impediment. That's the wisdom of God, because it always draws us back in our focus to God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You're the holy and wise and almighty God. We bless you today. We honor you today. We worship you today. Thank you so much, God, for exhorting us today